Welcome to episode 90 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In this episode, we interview Naftali Roberts, a life and business coach, on how to become more intuitive and intentional with not only what you eat, but how you live your life. Naftali is a therapist by trade, owns three businesses, and is a wife and mom to three. All right, let's get to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hi, Naftali. So great to have you on the podcast today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we are excited to talk to you about your journey through intuitive eating and getting rid of your diet approach that you used to use. And, you know, we talk about this on our podcast frequently, but it's always so good to talk to someone else who has been through this and their own personal journey rather than just Katie and I relaying what we've been through.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk about that.
All right. So just to start, tell us a little bit about yourself personally and professionally.
Yes. So I am a mother to three. I have a 5, 4, and 1-year-old. And I also own three businesses, two that I own myself. And then I run one with my husband. So I am a busy but very happy individual.
So it's like one, did you just like have a kid and then just say, okay, each kid, new business, but tell us more about the three separate businesses.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I wish that that was how creative I was, that I just thought one kid, one business. I am a natural entrepreneur. My husband has always been a business owner. So my husband works in the entertainment industry. And so he's always been a freelancer. And then several years ago, took a journey to own his own company within that realm. And because he is a creative entrepreneur, he needs my support and help because he doesn't do all things business. So that's that piece. And then I am a therapist by trained profession in terms of that. And so I work a lot with big feeling kids and teens and their families and helping them understand that. And then about 6 months ago, I decided to launch into doing something that I was already doing often for free, which was doing business coaching. And so that's my third business.
Awesome. I love that big feelings piece of, I think we could all learn lessons from one parent to another. I think we could all use that lesson of how to deal with our emotions, however we feel them on the spectrum, mm-hmm. of learning more of how to deal with that in the most healthy way.
Mm-hmm, definitely. But I think that that plays into like that intuitive eating thing as well. I don't know if you guys have experience of this, but I think for so many of us, we were taught not to listen to that intuition. And whether it's in our eating and you have to finish everything on your plate to just like don't feel that. And then people turn to food or using, you know, cookies because cookies make everything better and it makes you happy. And so that really does play into that. Just like reworking messaging, I think, is one of the reasons I love one doing that in my profession and then doing that in my day-to-day life with my kids. As a mother, that's one of those things I'm very aware of is how many messages are out there globally, but just came through my own childhood and my own life about food and eating and diet and how much I don't want to convey those and how mindful I have to be about my choices that I use to just talk about food and eating. And
yeah, I always thought that was for me when I was in schooling to become a dietitian, that was like the most fascinating classes that I had was about how, when you're a child, like even at the young age of 3 or 4, like by telling someone not to, oh, you've had enough, or, you know, putting these rules around kids, like how much it affects them in their adult years around food, of course, but mm-hmm. just in all aspects of your life. And we've talked about this before. So what was eating like for you growing up and how do you feel like that, you know, influenced you as an adult?
Yeah. So definitely had a lot of messaging around eating in my life growing up. One of my earliest memories is definitely a extended family member shaming effectively me for asking for another half of a sandwich. And looking back, I'm like, why was another half of a PB&J that big of a deal? Like I hadn't had 20, but definitely I vividly remember the look on that family member's face. Like, oh, that's why you're going to be. And I could see my future in this person's face. And I was maybe 5 at this point. That was definitely this idea that like certain people could eat more. My mom was the perpetual diet queen. So always on a diet, always trying something new, always, oh, you could eat that, but I don't because I'm on a diet. And that was like a differentiating like sort of thing. Then on top of that, I did dance growing up, and there was so much messaging in that. I vividly remember being 8 and being at my dance studio. I was not trying to be a prima ballerina. I was just doing normal dance, and having me and one of the other girls that were curvy, for however curvy you can be at 8, be pulled aside by the ballet teacher and given a special food eating list of these are the things you need to go home and tell your parent. These are the things you're allowed to eat, and these are the things you're not allowed to eat.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane, but I think we can all list, like, we can't even count on one hand how many times that we probably have even mm-hmm. talked to other kids around us, like, you've had enough, or no more mm-hmm. candy, you know, and like, it's just, I think so many people can relate to that. And you don't realize how much, like, you were 5 and you remember that, you know, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy. And like, how as parents, how do we integrate that mindful language development around eating and body and intuition? And we're going to all fail and mess up sometimes and go back to our old patterns, but just being so incredibly aware of it. As a mom, my 3rd is a girl, and I distinctly remember just being more aware of it when she was born, because I was like, and we'll get into this, I've made a lot of changes in how I eat over the last couple of years, listening to what was helpful to me versus what was healthy. But I'm very careful in how I talk about that with my kids, because I don't want them to think it's for like a weight loss issue or at that, but that instead it's a listening to your body approach.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's like, if you don't, especially if you don't explain it really clearly to a small mind, it'd be easy to say like, I don't eat these because they're not helpful for me, or whatever it is that you do, instead of it being like, this is my diet. Cause you know, it's easy to get confused in that when there is a huge difference.
Yeah.
What I think is awesome about that too, though, when you do teach a child so young, and we'll probably get more into this, if you teach them young enough, they don't have that good food versus bad food. You know, they're neutral, right? And so mm-hmm. if you have that kind of approach early on, I mean, they'll be exposed, but the majority of the time in the home, they'll be all food is, you know, is
good,
and kind of some of those messages that are neutral.
Yeah, the neutralness to food. And, you know, I think by teaching that, like, it really has allowed us, like, all of my kids come to find out have some, like, sensitivities, but they've been able to identify that and explain them at very young age, because there was never any labeling. It was just very, like, oh, when I eat this, I feel this way. I don't really like feeling this way. And, like, so we were able to collaborate more. Even, I mean, my kid when he was 3 is when we realized that he had like gluten, dairy kind of sensitivity stuff, but it was all from his description and like kind of his awareness of his body.
Right. So tell us, how did you find intuitive eating, and did you read it? Did you hear about it? Like, what was that journey for you?
So I've been, as it is for many of us, a long journey. I think I definitely became aware of like the concept of intuitive eating in grad school when I was studying marriage and family therapy. And I had a professor who was her background was all coming out of like people with distorted eating patterns. And so she really started talking about just being intuitive and in multiple areas of your life. And so in that, started to like interact with her in terms of intuitive eating and how to integrate that in your life. And so kind of just started to listen to my body. But there was in that, I think it was probably almost 10 years from that point to the point that I made some like major life switches because there was so much gunk. It was like I became aware of it, but then you had to walk through all the other things to get to the point you could hear.
Right. I totally understand that because, you know, you learn about it and you're like, oh, I like this concept. Like this concept speaks to me, but you have, you know, all 20 years plus probably of hearing and not hearing all of these messages from diet culture and society. And it's hard to make that switch from, okay, I'm allowed to listen to my body. I'm allowed to eat foods that have been off limits for me for a very long time. And I think it's really hard to, like, it takes a long time to really make big changes, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, long time. And becoming aware, I think, and I'm wondering if you guys have talked about this on your podcast, but for me, my go-to was to label the type of eating I needed to do. So it was like, I will start the process of listening to my body and I would listen it. And then I would automatically want to jump into, oh, that means I need to be a vegetarian, or that means that I need to be paleo, or that whatever label it was. But the moment I went into a label, I started putting constructs on my eating pattern that didn't allow me to keep listening. Right. And so that was a huge shift that had to happen for me, was you don't have to label this. You don't have to be this or that. You can be you and listen to what your body says and then just eat that way.
Yeah. Those labels are easy for us. You know, mm-hmm. It's easy because we can say, okay, I'm now a vegetarian, so I already know the rules of being a vegetarian. And it makes it so much easier for us mentally when, you know, listening to our own intuition and listening to what our bodies need is a lot more complicated and it takes a lot more time. So although it's the better idea, I do understand, like, going through all those labels and finally figuring out, okay, none of these are completely right for me because I'm a unique individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's the journey makes sense, but that was definitely, I would say, like, the biggest hurdle to get over in that, as well as just the labels of, like, what is healthy. Because ultimately, you know, when I finally started listening to my body, I've had to cut out or intuitively choose actively not to eat certain things that are culturally deemed as healthy. And so one, I had to get over that hurdle with myself. Two, I had to be okay with when people would try to, like, shame me into eating certain things that my body was saying no to. But I mean, I think that's a journey all of us have to go into, that how do you teach other people around you about intuitive eating as you eat? Because automatically people go, can't you just have a cheat day? And I'm like, I can't cheat on myself.
Yeah. And yes, I can have a cheat day because none of this is about that.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my gosh. I hate that cheat, because it's not a matter of cheating and not, it's a matter of you just honoring your body and how certain foods make you feel. Right. And so, mm-hmm. You know, a certain food makes you not feel so good. Some days you might accept that and say, I'm going to eat this and I'm going to enjoy it. And I know I'm going to feel like crap afterwards, but that's okay. But then other days saying, I don't want to feel like crap, so I'm not going to eat it. And be, you know, both of those decisions, one's not right or wrong.
Yeah, it's an active choice thing as opposed to a label of good or bad.
Yeah, and I think there's even a lesser severity of that. Like, the food might not make you feel like crap. It might just be that, like, you don't really get that much pleasure out of it, so you don't eat it. Like, there's foods that I'm like, you know what, this doesn't really bring me that much, like, joy to eat, so I don't really eat it. But sometimes I do, because sometimes I just want it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I still don't really like that much.
For me, I think of, like, when people bring in store-bought cupcakes or, like, store-bought things to work, because I'm like, they're really not that good, you know? And so a lot of times I'm just like, I don't really want it. But yeah. Then people, yeah, you get, like, shamed almost, like, oh, you're so healthy. Oh, you, why wouldn't, and it's like, no, I just really don't care for it right now. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, how to maneuver that as an individual. I think that we, as a culture, we don't necessarily talk about that as much as I would like to say, like, oh, like, I can own that I'm feeling kind of shamed by you. And like, no, I'm not this perfect, pristine, healthy person because I'm choosing, and nor do I judge you for eating that. Like, that's your act of choice. Just live it. Like, I'm doing me here. But yeah, I think there's so many mixed messages in that. And yeah, I think it really is, like I said, that hurdle that we have to get over in terms of the healthy label. And what does that really mean? I mean, there's nutrients our body likes, but it will crave that, and we will intuitively eat that if we listen.
So what has been the biggest difference, maybe most likely mental difference, but you can answer how you will, from before making your big shift into eating more intuitively? What are like the big changes mentally that you've seen?
I've felt an increase in like just emotional freedom to be like, just be authentic in many areas of my life, not having to feel like I had to pretend to be, one of my patterns would be the cycle. So I'd be like, okay, I'm a vegetarian. I took on this label. Let me do everything, 'cause I felt better when I ate. I just wasn't listening all the way. So let me put on this label. Well, then I'd still want meat. So then it's shame cycle me into, but I've told all these people I'm a vegetarian. So either they're going to see me as a failure, someone that gives up. I don't like that. Maybe I can hide my meat eating. Like, it would just inevitably cycle. And so like, becoming intuitive made me realize like, oh, I can be free in any choice I want to be. And I don't have to hide. And that was a huge one. And then the other one would be just like, just the increase in energy. I think I was not aware of the fact that there were a lot of foods that were actually causing me to be brain foggy and ineffective. And they were, you know, you can't see it, but I'm using air quotes, healthy eating that was actually really slowing me down. And so as I started to listen, I was like, oh, if I don't eat this thing that everybody else feels like is the best thing ever, but is not going to give me the energy I need or the brain clarity. So I was amazed when I like actually started listening to just like the overall like life betterment that occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of going back to that, talking about foods all being neutral, I think that's a huge piece that a lot of people don't understand that they have to work through as well, is that it's not just finding how, again, air quotes, unhealthy foods or junk food make you feel, but it's also about how these other fruits and vegetables and whole grains, how all those different foods make you feel too, right? Because, because again, it has that label, or society says it's healthy doesn't necessarily mean it's the best food for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our perception of what is quote unquote healthy changes with time. First it's this, and then it's that, and then it's back to this. So it's like, what even, how can much can we take that for what it's worth?
Yeah. Like for me, like, I mean, one of the big ones I learned that was really through intuitive eating was eggs for me. I was eating eggs all the time. And I finally realized that it was making my joints inflamed. And so that all of this pain, now that's not true for everyone. So everybody will be like, well, should I not eat eggs? And I'm like, do they make your elbows hurt when you eat them? Like, and they'll be like, no, should they? Like, you're missing the point.
People instantly, we instantly look for, well, how is that, again, diet going to fit for me? Is, oh, well, it did this for this person, so it must be the same for me. And it just goes to show, like, that cookie cutter and those labels, like, what's the point? Because they're not going to fit everybody.
Yeah, definitely. They're definitely not going to fit everybody. And, like, I mean, I think that's true in all of the areas of our life. When we try to conform to one view of this is the way I do this, we miss the power of our intuition. There's so much research on the fact that if we could just listen to like our body cues and our mental cues, how much like sharper and more aware and like more effective and all the things we long for, And it's just learning to listen is like the number one strategy.
And slowing down, but giving yourself space to listen. Yeah, it's hard with like such a busy world and us being trained, like we said, from the get-go, from birth, to not listen and to, you know, like what you were saying with the healthy food not making you feel great. We used to be health coaches online, like people do. And gosh, everything, almost everything about it makes me upset nowadays. But one of the things I remember is like giving someone advice on eating healthy foods and them saying like, oh, well, but like, I don't like, that doesn't make me feel like it makes me feel too bloated or whatever. And I like wouldn't have an answer. I'm like, well, everybody eats Brussels sprouts. So eat Brussels sprouts. Bye. Like that's all my advice was because what did I know?
Something's wrong with you. Goodbye.
Something's wrong with you. The Brussels sprouts are healthy. That is non-negotiable. Get over it. And it's like, ugh.
Not that possibly they have some sort of like, you know, hyperthyroidism and all sorts of things like that might not make them feel better. Yeah, it's hard. It's, I mean, obviously, like we're all in the online space and learning to listen and then help people listen in whatever field you're in. I think any of us that are coaches in any realm, that's our biggest struggle is like learning to just like listen and then attune to that and teach from that space.
So I have a question. With you being like crazy superwoman, busy that you are, like
I'm not Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman doesn't have laundry waiting for her at home.
This is true. Very true. So what are some things that you do to actively be, you know, practice being intuitive and like, how do you keep up with the practice, right? Because it really is a practice.
Yeah. Creating space to slow down and be quiet. So one of the things that I've done in the last few months that has really allowed for it is that I am getting up an hour before when my kids get up because I realize that if I don't start my day that way, I don't start listening. And I just hit and go into a really, really fast movement. And so even though I believed I was not a morning person, I listened and created the space for even more listening. And in that have like, then be able to start my day from a much more grounded place. So that's a really important, I did find like a movement activity that like is very mindfully based. And so for me, that activity keeps me listening to my body. So having those two practices are big. And then just in the day to day, really just trying to ask myself, like before I eat, am I hungry or is this just my programmed eating time? Am I thirsty? Oh, I really want X, Y, or Z. Is that because I'm trying to, like, it's just asking. I try to practice curiosity with myself. And I really have found that curiosity doesn't take as much time as we think it's going to. The more we do it, the more quickly it occurs, but also it just really, it seems like it's going to take forever, but our bodies are, and our minds are really quick.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, we will make mistakes and we'll fail and that's okay. So sometimes you'll ask yourself, oh, why do I want this food? And you're like, oh, you know, and you find an answer and like maybe it ends up being wrong. And you're like, well, oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, next time. Yeah. Good thing I'm going to eat again.
Exactly. I think it is also surrounding yourself. For me, it has been important to surround myself with some people that get it and to a certain level and make a choice to actively maybe not be around in an eating situation with people that like constantly don't get it. Like I'm all about educating, but like I can't, there are certain people in my life I cannot choose to eat around because it becomes a environment that I'm never going to be able to listen to in. And so like, it's not that I cut them out of my life. I just don't schedule lunch dates with them.
Yeah.
This makes me think of whenever I am at a fitness conference or surrounded by a lot of people in the fitness industry, because it's constant and people are and I've realized just exactly that, like, I can't do this every single day because someone's always on a diet and then they're always kind of looking at what is everybody else doing and
Talking about bars and like
Yes, supplements and just that and whole realm, right?
Yeah, it's just a whole conversation. So it's right. Like it has to be had when right. You're with those, with people that are so into the fitness world.
Yeah. I love that tip though of not just being curious about how you eat, but also just in your day to day, like what other things you can do to just slow down, which mm-hmm. then will affect how you eat as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it revitalizes the places that we learned. We don't just learn not to listen to our bodies in terms of our food. We learn to not do that in all of our places. And so as I've become more intuitive with my eating and then intuitive with my body, I have realized that even though I'm a very feelings-oriented person, I finally am feeling this connection to a feeling space that was shut down in similar ways of like, oh, your feelings are too much, figure it out or eat them or this. And so for me, I have seen this like amazing reconnection with feelings. Like, whereas before I'd be like, I feel sad, but I'm not physically showing you that I feel sad because I've learned to kind of separate from that. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely remember the first time I was like, I'm crying. And it, you know, I would cry before, but it would have to take a lot, where this was more of just like, oh, I feel your sadness and now there are tears rot. Oh, this, I'm all connected. All the places. This is nice.
That makes me think about emotional eating. Now, what's like, do you emotional eat now? And what does that make you think of now?
I emotional eat a lot less than I used to. The other day, so I had realized recently that if I eat a lot of fruit, I don't feel as well. But then I was trying to put a list on myself. And I like, so I got in this place where I wasn't going to eat fruit at all. So then I emotionally ate a bunch of grapes the other day. And then I immediately started laughing at myself because I was like, really? You're going to go down the shame cycle for eating a bunch of grapes? Oh, okay.
But that is huge to be able to catch yourself in that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, just yeah. The fact that you were able to say,
wait,
why are you getting mad at yourself for this? And yeah. Like yeah. That, right, there's a huge deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, whereas before, like, it could go on for a whole night. And, like, you know, I did the typical thing where once I fell off in the past, once I fell off the wagon, it was like, I might as well eat all the emotional, like, food I want to eat, not to the level of binge eating, but definitely to the like, well, I already had the nachos, so I might as well have the ice cream, so I might as well drink the diet soda, like, let me get it all because I'm gonna get healthy tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whereas like, yeah, I still emotional eat sometimes, but far less because my body just, it doesn't go there. It's not my go-to place anymore because it's just those neural pathways have been broken, like in terms of that response pattern.
Yeah.
And because you learn to feel your feelings, right?
Yeah.
So you're mm-hmm. feeling them before it gets to the point where, well, I'm just going to go to turn to food to not feel these feelings.
Yeah, for sure. And when you become intuitive in your eating and your life and your all of it, you start putting less stress that you can't handle on yourself. When I wasn't in tune, I would say yes to things that I shouldn't say yes to because I didn't have the emotional or physical space to do it. So it's functioning from an ever-present state of burnout. And if you're in an ever-present state of burnout, you are going to fall into those patterns. It is yeah. just a kind of a natural place to be. And so for me, intuitive eating is so much easier when I'm just, like I said, listening in all areas of my life.
Yeah, I've loved learning recently about, like, we think of emotion, or not we necessarily, but us as a collective species thinks of emotional eating as something that's so negative because it gets all of this buzz of being like, you never should emotional eat. But then we have to remind ourselves that, like, eating is emotional. Mm-hmm. Eating is wrapped up into everything that really our society is about. And so, like you said, you know, we don't want to eat our feelings. Like that's something we can all agree on. But emotionally eating, like, you know, going to Thanksgiving and eating all of these foods that remind you of your childhood and like
I think a key point that I remember kind of talking about professors who influenced you. I had a nutrition professor who I remember, I think it was a nutrition communications class, or no, it was a nutrition counseling class. And she said something to the effect of, like, disordered eating it is normal eating, or like abnormal eating is normal eating. And I was thought, I it didn't, it took a few years for that to really sink in. But exactly makes sense with what you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's you. You said a while ago that a healthy diet for you included cookies. And it took me like forever for that to sink in, because I was still seeing it as healthy food over in this column, unhealthy food, cookies over on this column. So I thought you meant like balance. No, what you meant was like literally for you, your diet included cookies. It took me so long to really like understand that. So you're teaching me stuff.
So Natalie, tell us from a therapist standpoint and just kind of going through this experience in your, as yourself, what tips do you have for parents, or I think especially someone like a mom or a dad who's in that space where they're still trying to figure out themselves, like how can they, what are some tips to help with their raise intuitive children?
Ooh, this is such a big topic.
He's like, can I schedule another interview?
Condense this down.
Exactly what I thought. I was like, this is like an hour, but okay. I can give some tips. I think being intentional of where you're choosing to listen to what might not be truth. So I'll break that down. So you're not going to unwork your whole childhood and everything in terms of how you function in one day. So maybe say, okay, I really want to raise intuitive kids. And so I'm going to just choose actively, you know, 70% of the time, to maybe 80, who knows, maybe 60, somewhere in there. To actively say, I'm not going to say things like you've had enough, or I'm going to say anytime my kid brings me a feeling or a physical state, which is their description of hunger, I'm going to encourage them to learn being intuitive by just being curious with them. Like, oh, mom, I don't want anymore. Oh, that's cool. How do you know that? Like, so getting them to verbalize what's going on in their body, because I am a science nerd and I love the fact that when you're doing that, you are effectively connecting different parts of your brain. And so like, as a parent, we have this brilliant opportunity to help shape not only like perspective, but literally neurological functioning and where those like, just like automatic functions happen. And so like, if we can teach our kid through us choosing to be inquisitive and then turning it back on them and asking them to ask themselves those same questions, that is the area where I believe that we can be the most effective. And then I think the other one is just being really careful about the words you use about food, diet, health in your household. That's where, you know, whoever is within that immediate family unit, you know, the grown-ups need to have a conversation like, how are we going to talk about food, and how are we going to be on purpose and intentional in this? I think so many of us become reactive and unintentional, and my whole kind of thing I love working with and coaching on and everything is just like this intentionality to life and business or whatever you're in. And one of the ways is, how do we speak about things? And so that, as parents, I think is really a big one, is like maybe getting a language pre-planned. This is how I'm going to talk about this. This is going to have, pre-planning works when we're trying to make changes a lot.
I love that. Being intentional versus being reactive. That's, we are so reactive in life, especially when it comes to kids, but.
Yeah. And like you said, whether that's only 60% of the time, like just putting the effort out and learning as you go, like, you know, if your kids are 15 years old when you're listening to this episode and you're like, well, what can I do now? You can do something. You can always do something. So, you know, just doing your best in the moment that you have.
in the last couple of years have worked with a few individuals that are literally in their 70s, and we've worked on reworking, learning how to be intuitive and how to be curious. And so if they can change how they walk through that process, your 16-year-old, it's not too late. Like, they have far more ability to change those neural pathways than your, you know, the 70-year-olds that I work with sometimes.
So true. So true. It's never too late.
Nope.
I want to meet these people that you're working with in their 70s, because if you are like motivated to change at that age, like, you can conquer the world still. Like,
yeah. You're my kind of people.
Yes.
They're really fun. I like the littles and then I like the older ones.
Yeah. All right. So the last question that we love to ask our interviews in our interviews is, what's the best thing that's happened to you this week?
I just had the opportunity on Saturday to just be intentional in my time in terms of spending time with friends and family. We kind of opened our house up for brunch and just kind of let the day flow, and brunch turned into dinner. And we literally just spent the day being intentional with people. And that was just a beautiful moment this weekend.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
To be able to not be like, oh, I have to rush out of here, and just be present.
Worry awesome. And worry about if people are having a good time, or worry about this or that. There's always worry. So yeah, that's great to like just have a great moment and a great day.
Yeah, just let it flow.
Well, it was so great to have you on the podcast today. If our listeners want to reach out to you, maybe they have more questions, what's the best way to contact you?
Probably the easiest way would be just either finding me on Instagram, which it's Naphtali, which is Naphtali, and then V Roberts, or finding me on Facebook. They can contact me there as well. Those are the two easiest ways.
Okay, yeah, we'll tag those in our show notes so that they'll be able to find it easily. Thanks so much for being on. It was so good to talk to you. Like I said in the beginning, it's just so awesome to talk to other people. Like you said, surrounding yourself with people that are like, get this, so they can, because it's always a work in progress. And if you're, when you're around people that are also going through it, it's just so, so helpful.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.